I'm filling in for Janet this morning since she's back in the sound booth. We welcome you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our risen Lord and Savior. Glad to see everybody here. There are announcements in your bulletin that I would ask you to look at, and we have a few additional announcements. Krista would like to say something, and then Nikki.
So I just wanted, one, to tell our youth group and youth parents that youth group is tonight. I messed that up on your schedule if you're looking at it. It looks like you're having youth group tomorrow night, which is Monday. I put the wrong date. It's actually tonight. So I just wanted to clear that up in case any of you were confused. It's tonight. I hope you guys saw some of the pictures. Thank you, Janet and Dave, for posting those up there. Some of our Brooklyn trip pictures were posted. Yay! There we all are this morning for you guys to see from our trip to Brooklyn a couple weeks ago. So there those are. And the other thing I just wanted to announce in about 2 weeks, give or take, our Dominican trip is going to be hosting Damascus Road here at the church. It's December 10th in the evening at 7 o'clock. We had them here last year. They do a phenomenal job. This year, we're going to be super blessed because they're actually doing a Christmas show. So you can get your holiday spirit on, come out and worship with them and hear some Christmas music. So that'll be December 10th. And I also, one more thing, the Agape Box collection that we started with the youth group is out in the lobby. You probably saw it. It's just the wrap box sitting by the tree. The list of items is printed and on the box. I think Tony got it in the bulletin for us this week. So the list of items is there as well. And like I said, you can do toys, or there's also a whole list of items for the center that actually keeps the center running as well, that the youth will be collecting for the center. So that's out in the lobby as well. All right, thanks. Oh, you want me to announce about this? Okay, I'm sorry. One more. I just can't get enough today. Everybody that has been attending regularly has been officially adopted for our youth program. So kudos to everybody out there. You guys did great. We really appreciate that. If you have not been in touch with your youth, please do so very soon if you've taken one. And those of you that have been connecting with your youth, thank you so much for that. The program has been off to a great start, so that it's just been wonderful. So, but if you have not been in contact, please make sure you're making connections now, because everybody's kind of starting to make those connections, and it's been wonderful. So thank you to everybody who took a youth. The program is doing just as I wanted it to, so just kind of what I envisioned. So everybody's doing great with that. So those of you that have not been in contact with your youth, please, please do, because everybody has officially been connected with somebody if they've been attending regularly. We do have one or two that still need a mentor. So if you were thinking about it and haven't, we can still use you. It's just those that haven't really been attending regularly that I haven't been able to connect with to get their little yellow cards together. So, but we do have pretty much everybody connected with somebody. So thank you guys for that too.
It's just been a little while since the search committee had an update, so I know I've had people asking, and other people have said that as well. So I was in contact with Craig last Wednesday because we haven't heard anything from him, hadn't received any new profiles. He did send 7 more profiles to us, so we are planning on having a meeting this week, I think Tuesday, and we will go over them and see where we go from there. So just please continue to pray that the person would be revealed to us and that we would be able to bring someone in. Thanks.
Anything else that was missed needs to be? Okay. Then please stand and let's start our worship service this morning with the praise team. Join us in singing Soul on Fire.
Before we get started, I just wanted to introduce Ricky Weitzel is here with us today. He's our drummer, and he's going to be with us today and I think on the 11th, and hopefully more. So enjoy having the drums with us today.
I'm running for your heart until I am a
Let's bow our heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with praise, giving you all the honor and the glory. We want to be a church that's ready for you, like a bride waiting for her groom. Help us in that endeavor. We ask you that your Holy Spirit would move among us this morning as we come here to worship you through our songs, through the scripture, through the message. And we ask that we would leave here filled with that spirit and go out into a hurting world and pass that message of a wonderful groom coming for his bride. We ask for those, for healing for those who are hurting, either spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. We ask for your healing hand on those who couldn't be here today because of sickness, and especially on those who aren't here because they don't have a desire to come and worship you. Be new to those people. Be fresh and be new. And we ask that you would put your blessing on this church and the church as a whole in this country. We ask for your hand on those who are in leadership, from the president all the way down to our local lawmakers. We need healing, Lord. We all need healing in our personal lives, and our country needs healing. And we know that you are the only one that can bring that. So we just ask, we give you all the blessings and the honor and the glory for the blessings that we each have, and the fact that we serve a living Savior. And because of that, we have reasons to rejoice. And we rejoice today. We ask this in your precious holy name. Amen. Now we're going to have Steve and Brina are going to light the Advent candle.
But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come, in the evening or at midnight or at dawn. Keep awake.
The scripture reading is from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 26, 32, 33, 35, and 37. And it basically says the same thing. It says, "But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So be on guard and be alert. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will return, whether in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping," which we all love to do. "What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch."
Such amazing things happen in the sky to herald the return of the Son of Man, Jesus, coming in the clouds. The sun grows dark, the moon doesn't shine, and stars fall from the heavens. so different from that first coming more than 2,000 years ago, with angels singing of God's glory and peace on earth, with the single star guiding the way to the manger, with shepherds and wise men, rich and poor, coming to worship. And so we watch and wait and stay alert, waiting again for the coming of Jesus. And we light a single candle in preparation for that glorious day. And even if the sun should grow dark, even if the moon refuses to shine, even if the stars should fall from the sky, we will have Jesus, the light of the world, to shine brightly in our hearts, lighting our way.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you. The praise team is going to lead now with Word of God Speak. If you would please stand. Once the legendary football coach Vince Lombardi and his Green Bay Packers lost a football game that they should have won handily. However, sloppy play and foolish mistakes led to their unanticipated defeat. The next day at practice, Lombardi gathered his team together. He reached into a bag and brought out a football. He then said, "This, gentlemen, is a football." It was, in his own indomitable way, a statement that it was time to get back to basics. When Christ was about to leave his team and return to heaven, he left them and us with a challenge to be his witnesses, not only at home, but also to the very ends of the earth. A few days earlier, on a mountain in Galilee, he had left us the Great Commission. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you to do. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." His commission to us was explicit. We are to make disciples by leading people to Christ. We are to mark these new disciples through baptism, and then we are to mature them by teaching them to observe all those things Christ commanded. Immediately before his ascension back to heaven, Jesus stood on another mountain in Judea. There he reinforced this great commission by calling upon that small group to take his good news to the whole nations, not simply to a few locals. It is a basic tenet of the Christian faith that we are all to be his witnesses to a lost and dying world around us. The call to evangelism, to sharing the good news of Christ, is one of the most basic callings of the New Testament. Since the last words of those who leave us are always intriguing and important, let's pay attention to this parting challenge from the lips of our Lord and seek to apply it to our lives. Will you bow with me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that we become your witnesses as we are commanded to do. That was not a suggestion, it was a command from our Lord and Savior before he left this earth. Let that be our goal as we go out into the workplace. And remember the scripture that says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Let us be witnesses in the world in which we live, whether it be with our giving, our tithes, our offerings, with our words, with our actions, and with the love that we show to those who Christ brings into our lives. We ask this in your name. Amen. The ushers, please come forward. And children are dismissed from 4 years to fifth grade for Children's Church.
As we come to our time of prayer, I'd like to make some additions or updates. And we want to remember the John Zimmerman family and the loss of John's mother this past week. The funeral was held yesterday. The Smith family from Midway Their 17-year-old son, Ian, was killed in an auto accident last Saturday night. In addition, there were three injured girls. I heard a report this morning that perhaps one of the three girls may have passed away. One was on life support, and the other two are pretty seriously injured. So I don't have the names in front of me, but you can pray for that family. And Ron Brubaker, he's back on chemo, but on a reduced chemo, and apparently it's going pretty good for him. When they started him back on the chemo the first week, it really knocked him out, and he was in pretty bad shape for a while, but it seems to be going much better now. My brother-in-law, Leonard, who was diagnosed 2 weeks ago, a little over 2 weeks ago, with end-stage kidney disease, he's still struggling. He's going to have some surgery tomorrow. His name is Leonard Nicodemus. Going to have surgery tomorrow, and his health is declining rather rapidly. Besides the kidney failure, he's also going rapidly into dementia, and to the point where he doesn't seem to realize, he keeps asking my sister-in-law, his wife, what his surgery is going to be about. So he can't remember that, but still he's going through a lot, and we want to pray for them. Let's come before the Lord. O Lord, our God, we give you praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving for the precious gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we're beginning to anticipate the celebration of his first coming in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. But we thank you also, Lord, that he did not stay there in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, but even now. Even now, the Lord Jesus is present with us to encourage us, to lift us up, to give us hope and encouragement day by day. We give you praise and honor and glory for all that Jesus accomplished on our behalf. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We know that because of Jesus, even in the loss of loved ones, we can have confidence and hope. Because your word reminds us to be apart from the body is to be present with the Lord. And as we pray for those families that lost loved ones, we pray for comfort, for encouragement. We pray for those families that still have daughters in the hospital in serious condition. We pray for comfort, for encouragement, for your hand of mercy and grace to be upon those girls. We continue, Lord, to remember Ron and the struggles that he's going through with the chemo treatments. Give him strength and encouragement and blessing. I pray, Lord, for Leonard, for the touch of your hand upon him as he's going through more surgery tomorrow and the struggles that he's going through, and for Mary as well, that you bring comfort and encouragement to them. There are many others in our congregation, among our friends, that are struggling with various diseases. You know the needs even before we ask, but you invite us to come with thanksgiving. And so with thanks we come and ask that you would pour out your blessing upon every need that we have. Lord, we pray for the nation. These are troubling times. It's hard for us to imagine a reason for such violence that's going on right now in so many places. It's hard to imagine the hatred that has poured out upon those who are seeking to care for the communities. It seems as though it's open season upon police officers. There's been so many that have been shot and a number that have been killed recently simply because they are police. Lord, comfort those families and their losses. We pray for your guidance in our nation, that we can learn to come back together and to work together. Lord, we realize that it's been a long time since this nation could really be considered a Christian nation. And yet there's still many, many semblances of it. And we will not let it die. We're going to hold forth the word of Jesus. We're going to hold forth the word of truth. We pray that you would indeed guide and direct those who are involved in our governments, from the local government all the way up through our government in Washington. Give guidance and wisdom and discernment and understanding. Lord, not to adhere to necessarily a political party, but rather that our leaders would do what is proper and necessary for the people and for the nation. Lord, we pray for the church around the world. We pray for those who are spreading the gospel and are facing persecution every day, the threats of their lives, being jailed and incarcerated for long periods of time. Lord, we pray for comfort, for encouragement for them, that they will continue to hold forth the truth of God. And so we give you praise and honor and glory. And Lord, we pray your blessing upon our congregation here in the search and all that we're going through. We pray for strength and endurance, and Lord, that we may be united in spirit to work together for your kingdom and for your purpose. We thank you and praise you, and we pray your blessing in this hour, that your spirit will move among us and touch our hearts with your grace. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from Luke chapter 2. Beginning today, which is, of course, the first Sunday of Advent, we're going to be looking at the whole matter of the coming of Jesus. We'll get back to Romans in January, but right now, for the next 4 weeks, we'll be looking at the coming of Jesus, the Lord and Savior, and we want to give praise and honor to him. And so we'll read from the scripture, chapters 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor in Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So we're in the Advent season, the very beginning, which means, among other things, that we'll be starting to sing Christmas carols. I love this time of year. Many of you have looked at my ties. My tie is appropriate today because it has a manger scene. And so it even fits in with the scripture when the family of Jesus went to Bethlehem and they ended up in a stable because there's no room for them in the inn. Someone wrote new titles for carols. Perhaps it was attributed to the guys who write the IRS tax codes. You ready for these new Christmas carols? Listen. Nocturnal Quietude. Anyone know what that is? Silent Night. Listen to celestial beings lyrically vocalize. Hark the herald angels sing. Exuberance designed for the orbiting sphere on which resides humanity. Joy to the world. Inquiring of the Virgin's newborn identity. What child is this? An arrival at 0100 hours during an absence of atmospheric activity. It came upon them midnight clear. Now, just a little fun there, but you know, I love these Christmas carols. How about you? I love them. I love this time of year. Some of them we even sing once in a while at other times, like Joy to the World. We can sing that really about any time. Now, you're not thinking about taxes yet, right? But consider the context of the birth of Jesus. Augustus Caesar was not seeking popularity. When he called for the census, it was for the purpose of taxing the people. When you read his lips, it wasn't no new taxes. On the contrary, it was more like bleed those turnips dry. And so everybody was going back to their hometown to be registered for the tax. Every adult male was required to return to the town of his birth for this census. So we come to the scripture this morning. I'm not going to read all of it. You'll see it up on the screen. I'm not going to read all of it, but we will look at our scripture for this morning, the decree of Augustus, Caesar Augustus, that everyone should be registered. And so Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem to be registered. He gives a story of the registration that was to take place and exactly when it was. By the way, speaking of this, there's a lot of evidence, more evidence than you can even begin to imagine about the truth of God's word, of how all the prophecies of the Old Testament about the Messiah were proven and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. There is more evidence for the truth of the Bible than there is the evidence of even the existence of Aristotle. You know, I could go into a long list because I recently read about all these historical evidences, these people from the past, that the closest writings that come from them were, you know, sometimes 1,500 years after the event. But the reality is that many of the works that were way back have been found within a couple hundred years of when they took place in the Bible. Everything in the scripture, I believe, is indeed the word of God. And so even going to Bethlehem was a fulfillment of prophecy. When we learn from the Old Testament, thou Bethlehem, you're so small, but out of you will come a Savior. So many prophecies from the Old Testament fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So we come to this point, but now we get down to them arriving in Bethlehem and they wanted a place to stay. Sometimes when I'm traveling, most time when I'm traveling, I'll plan ahead for a place to stay at night. One time I didn't. We were going to annual conference in Wichita, I believe it was. And so we were traveling and we'd gotten to St. Louis in the afternoon. We went through the arch and everything like that. And we didn't have anything scheduled. And so after the arch, I said, well, we'll keep going for a while. And started looking for motels. And along Interstate 70 out there beyond St. Louis, at that time, there aren't many motels. We got off the road, went a few miles off the road in a couple places, couldn't find any motels. And finally, we got all the way to Kansas City around midnight, a little after midnight, and we found a place, a Holiday Inn, that had one room left. Well, here's Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem. What do they find? They don't even find one room, not a single room. Everything was filled up. So what are they going to do? It was really something else. Everybody was going back to their towns to be registered for the taxation. Now, we don't know the innkeeper's name. It's never mentioned. But he had much in common with the other innkeepers. Chaos. Every room in the inns were filled. Every inn was filled. Pardon the pun, but it was a taxing situation. The crowds had common needs, a warm bed, a roof overhead. Mary and Joseph surely wondered where they would find lodging, especially considering Mary's stage in motherhood. As it turned out, they were turned down. No vacancy signs were everywhere. Not a single bed could be found. But they were not turned out on their ear, this unnamed innkeeper, sensitive to the obvious need of this couple from the country, came to their rescue. He led them to the stable. Now, we might not think of stables as being that clean, but I'm suspecting that if this innkeeper was a really good innkeeper, he would make sure that even the stable was clean, because he had no idea what kind of guests might come, and so he wanted his stable to be in good condition for whoever may come. But that's beside the point. The reality is that Jesus came and was born in such humble conditions. But that was the purpose. Jesus did not come as king born in a palace or any such thing as that. He came in humility. So they went to the stable. They were shielded from the wind and the rain, and in the end, baby Jesus would be born and laid in a straw-lined, it's a feed trough, really. It's a feed trough that they put him in. Well, nothing could be different, could it? Now, when my children were born, it's quite different from what it is today. When my children were born, my youngest son is 49, I couldn't even get close to my children until, in fact, they wouldn't even let me carry them out of the hospital. I couldn't touch them until after the nurse had put the baby in the hands of my wife in the car. Then I could finally touch my boys. Otherwise, I was looking through glass. All such sterile conditions, everything so clean, it was nothing like that, I'm sure. No matter how clean the stable was, it wasn't anything like that. Jesus came in humility. Now, before we speculate about the innkeeper's generosity or lack of it, consider the context. He deserves the benefit of the doubt. Really. If his inn was maxed out, what options were there? Did you ever hear about this little story of the young children that were doing the nativity scene, and this little boy was going to be the innkeeper, and so Mary and Joseph come up to the door, and the door's open, and the little boy says, "Well, all the rooms are taken. But that's okay, you can use my bed." Only a little boy would think of that. Right? "That's okay, you can use my bed." All right, it's impressive. The innkeeper went out of his way, really, to welcome Mary and Joseph into his life. As stressed out as he was, he went out of his way to welcome Mary and Joseph into his life. Perhaps the innkeeper knew the Proverbs of Solomon and responded because of his faith. "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done." What we do for others is a kindness done to God. What we do for others is a kindness done for God. Certainly the innkeeper did not know that he was doing this for the very Son of God. And yet that's how it turned out. What we do for others is a kindness done to God. Sounds like Jesus speaking in Matthew 25 in the separation of the goats from the sheep. Jesus said that those who fed him or clothed him or cared for him would be blessed. When did we do anything like that? And as much as you did it for the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. So, the innkeeper really should have a lot of respect in one sense. He challenges a way that we respond to people in bad circumstances that would complicate our routines. Sometimes we get into spots and, we don't want anything to mess up our routine. And years ago when I lived out across from Elko High School, my boys were out somewhere and they came home and they had this man in the car with them that was scratched up and bloody and whatnot. And he said that he had been picked up. He was hitchhiking and he'd be picked up, and the guys that picked him up beat him up and threw him out of the car. And he looked like he had been thrown out of a car. It was on a Saturday evening and I was going to be preaching Sunday morning. Well, I found out that he lived up in Steelton. So what I do, I took him home. I took him home. Someone was in need. We need to be willing to step out of our comfort zone. I can tell you this. I mean, it wasn't the most comfortable thing to be hauling a man that's all bloodied up and scratched up. It wasn't the most comfortable thing, but I was willing to do it because he was somebody that was in need. We are surrounded with people in need. Maybe not that they are beat up and bloody or anything like that, but we're surrounded by people who are in need. The words of Jesus paraphrased, whoever visits the prisoner, clothes the naked, and offers hospitality to someone needing shelter is in effect offering those acts to me. Christmas is a time of season when we are gift conscious. I've already had my family ask me, what do you want for Christmas? I don't know. At my age, I don't need anything, right? Listen to this. We shop and buy and wrap and give by spending what we need to live, and all the while some gifts we get are ones we just as soon forget. We stand in line to take them back, and there ahead is cousin... Now, this was part of the original poem. I didn't put it in. There ahead is cousin Jack. His gift to me is in my hand, and no matter how I try to stand, I can't conceal it. He can see the fate of what he gave to me. But then I spy what he returns. My costly gift he freely spurns. How senseless it now seems to me, the fuss we make of gifts. Agree? If all we do is take them back, then wrap them in a paper sack. Well, actually, I've gotten to the point where I do one-stop shopping. My youngest granddaughter is 19. My oldest granddaughter is 25. I would not begin to try to buy them anything that would suit them. So I do one-stop shopping. Bank. They appreciate the gifts I give them. You know, this story would be really funny if it weren't half true, right? So much of what we spend our money on is either not needed or not fully appreciated. Oh, I'm going way, way, way back, 70 years or so. My oldest brother, he was out working, and we had Christmas, and he opened up a package, and he looked at it, and he said, oh, no, another tie. I don't think my parents ever brought him another tie. Well, that happens. Maybe not that bold, but it does happen. Listen, if Christmas is Jesus' birthday, why aren't we much more concerned with what we give him? One of the reasons is because we get all caught up in the frantic busyness of the season and get our eyes off of Jesus Christ at Christmas. Now back to the innkeeper. The innkeeper's example shows us the kind of gifts Jesus enjoys. When we give of ourselves to people in need, we are given real gifts to the Lord. The Bethlehem innkeeper didn't know his responsiveness was to Mary and Joseph, was actually ministering to Jesus, but he did it anyway, perhaps listening to the Lord. Now, from the teaching of Jesus, we have reason to believe making room for others is a means of directly serving him. I suspect that most of you don't have any homeless neighbors. They wouldn't be homeless if they were neighbors, right? Most of you don't have homeless neighbors, far from it. But they have needs. Like that night in Bethlehem, some of the words we could choose to describe people in our block at this time of the year would be busy, exhausted, confused. You know, Christmas is a hard time of year for many. The Christmas season is when the number of suicides spike because of the emptiness, for whatever reason, in the hearts of many. Can we reach out and embrace these people, perhaps give them a purpose and a reason and a hope beyond what they're dealing with right now? Maybe our neighbors don't need a place to sleep, but they need someone to talk with, someone to encourage them, someone to give them hope for the future. They need a touch of Christmas like they might not have had for a very long time. A few years ago, there was a push to consider our homes as lighthouses of prayer. You remember that? They were encouraging people to think of your home as a lighthouse of prayer. It means viewing your place where God's people pray regularly for those nearby who are lost in a sea of spiritual and emotional peril. You know the struggles some of your neighbors may be going through. I'm still looking for a woman to come here because she told me she was going to come to church. My neighbor across the street. I was out in my yard one day, front yard working, and there was a commotion across the street. The man was standing beside his car, the front door was open, and the wife was back and forth ranting and raving in the front yard, hollering and screaming. And just about that time, I saw a white car coming down the street. And it stopped in front, and a policeman got out and spoke to them for some time. So, after a while, after the policeman left, after her husband left, she came over to apologize for what I had witnessed. I said, "That's okay. Tell me what your need is." Well, it turned out that her husband actually had another woman in the car. And I didn't know, but they'd actually been separated for 2 months. I didn't know that because he was often in and out. I thought he was still living there. So I offered my help. She said she was going to come to church, but she hasn't made it yet. And so I continue to pray for her that maybe she will. We have lots of people that are going through lots of struggles in life. A few years ago, there was a neighbor that got in trouble. on my street. I live on a nice street and nice neighborhood, but one of my neighbors got in trouble for embezzling a lot of money from the place he worked. We can always find somebody that needs somebody to encourage them, to give them hope, to give them purpose, to be a blessing in their lives. People need a touch that offers the healing grace of God, one that we can provide. As you pray for people, as you develop relationships with people you live around, the love of God will shine out like a comforting beam that provides direction to the harbor of salvation. I've often thought that I'd like to put a small lighthouse in my front yard to let people know that I'm a beacon of hope. I want to give them hope and encouragement. I like to build things myself, and I haven't figured out exactly how to build it. If I can't, I guess I'll have to go out and buy one, put in my yard. Touching our neighbors through acts of friendship and sharing are tangible means by which we experience the Christmas touch. Making Christ-like connections in this time of the year is a way in which we give thanks to our God as we serve those around us. When we open the doors of our homes to people who are dying for some meaningful companionship, we let the Lord in too. You know, we're told that we don't know when we accept somebody in, but what we might be entertaining an angel unaware. In Bethlehem, there may not have been any room for Christ, but this Christmas season, will you make room in your heart for Jesus? My prayer is that you may take the opportunity, take the advantage of the opportunity to touch your neighbors with the love of God and Christ by sharing your home with them. In her book, Open Heart, Open Home, Karen Maines writes, each of us can participate in some way in evangelism through hospitality, the use of the home as a tool of ministry. The genius of a home is that it is universal to each Christian. We all abide somewhere, in a room or a dormitory, an apartment or a rancher. In this inhospitable world, a Christian home is a miracle to be sharing. If we understand that we are stewards to a divine master, we must consider why we are in this place at this time in this town. The Lord is not haphazard in his planning. Someone on this street weeps behind closed doors. Someone is crying. The home of the Christian is a tool of ministry. Ask the Lord how he wants you to use your home and your life. I saw a plaque at the Midway Church. I thought it was good, so I took a photograph of it. And it speaks volumes to us. Are we in the in crowd, or are we in the stable few? What's your answer? Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, as we scatter to our gathering places in a variety of neighborhoods, we desire to touch those who live near us, who fear the many things that's going on in life, perhaps a doctor's diagnosis, the challenges of aging parents, unemployment, and especially, Lord, their eternal destination. Like the innkeeper in Bethlehem, make us willing to open our hearts and our homes in genuine friendship across the street and around the block. Give us sensitivity and courage to walk our talk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I guess the praise team is going to lead us. Here I am, Lord. That's a good thing. Here I am, Lord. Are you presenting yourself to the Lord to be used by him? I did not choose that song. I'm not sure who chose it. I didn't talk to anybody about my message. But doesn't that song really fit the message? Yeah. Here I am, Lord. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Amen.